This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the 1912 Exiles podcast, the Newport County podcast made by the fans for the fans. I'm Jamie and I'm very pleased to be bringing you a special episode today. But first, as always, we want to thank the listeners who have contributed a few pennies through our Ko-fi account. So our regular contributors, thank you once again. Billy Punk, Mark Williams, Daniel Hirini, Hamid Baladabadi, Martin Kings in the row said Exiles WhatsApp group, and Hoyligan, of course. If you want to chip in with a few quid and a comment, there's a link in the show notes. If you can't, no problem at all. Just help us promote what we do over on social media at 1912XLs, wherever you are. Now, on to the main event. Last month, Newport County were drawn at home to Manchester United in the FA Cup. You may have read that somewhere. While it certainly wasn't our first foray into a match against Premier League opposition in recent years, it felt like the media coverage surrounding the tie in the build-up was more intense than ever before. We ourselves at the 1912 Exiles podcast were dealing with dozens of media requests, but those pale in comparison to the club and the local media. So, we wanted to know what it was like to be in the centre of that media storm. To be reporting on arguably the biggest game in the country that weekend at the end of January, according to some, including our manager, the biggest game in the club's history. So in order to find out, we asked friend of the pod, Chris Kerwin, the sports reporter from the South Wales Argus, and Newport County's media manager, Louis Cartwright-Walls, to join us and share their insights into what must have been a frantic few weeks. Now, I loved speaking to both of these. I got so much out of this conversation with them. I hope you do too. So without further ado, let's pitch to the interview. I'm thrilled to say that joining me today is Louis Cartwright-Walls, Newport County's media manager. Louis, it's a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you very much for having me.
And also joining me today is a man who's been reporting on Newport County for some time now. It's the South Wales Argus chief sports writer, friend of the pod, and all-round good egg, Mr. Chris Cohen. Chris, welcome back to the pod.
Thanks for having me.
Right. Silly question to start, but did either of you really anticipate the level of media attention after the draw was made? I mean, I stated in my intro that this game felt bigger than all the other ties. Maybe, Chris, if we start with you, I mean, how did this game compare to, you know, your Spurses, your Leicesters, your Manchester Cities in your eyes?
On a personal front, it was very different in that back then there was a bigger sports desk than the Argus. But I guess it's Manchester United are just bigger, aren't they, in terms of everything. I mean, you're dealing with a club that every story you do is getting read by more people. Well, I've found that, and you can measure it on metrics. And you sort of, just by their name, they are a bigger club, even than some of the big Premier League giants. So it was bigger. As soon as the draw was made, that was, you know, being noticed by everyone, which of course caused issues for the players. The players and Graham Copeland trying not to get carried away, but the rest of us were
Yeah, yeah. That was one of my questions. We'll come on to that about getting carried away. But Louis, if we ask you, so firstly, how long have you been with the club and in your current role? And secondly, did anyone prepare you for what was to come?
Well, I've been at the club for just over 2 years now. Started as a volunteer photographer, and now I'm here, and I've been in this role for, it's coming up to a year, but coming up to a year very soon, and I don't think anyone could prepare me for what that weekend brought, because it was just mental. I've never known anything like it, and now the dust has settled, and I look back, I can't believe how much tension that game brought. It was just unbelievable.
I think we joked that you must have had like hundreds of requests. I mean, was it literally hundreds?
No, it literally was hundreds, yes. Yeah, I mean, I tell people from the 70th minute in the Eastleigh game, I think Will had banged that goal in, and I'd already had emails then asking for requests. And honestly, I was going through the press conference with the gaffer after, and I had emails and messages and phone calls coming through, like, can we have a request and can we speak to these players? And honestly, we hadn't even finished the game or the press conference. So, yes, it was literally hundreds. Yes.
Yeah, and of course, I'm sure the short turnaround time of these sort of cup games doesn't really help matters, particularly with a replay as well. But when you're inundated with all of these outlets, you know, they're wanting to talk to Graham Coughlin, they're wanting to talk to the players. I mean, is the idea that you want to share it out so everyone gets a turn, or are you just conscious that, you know, everybody kind of wants those like newsworthy like backstories? You know, obviously Will Evans was carted out so many times, wasn't he? How do you manage that? How do you balance that out?
You want to look after the people that look after you, first of all. So, you know, the likes of Chris, the likes of, you know, the BBC, who were there week in, week out when we're playing in the league. We looked after them first because that's our main priority. They look after us. And then after, we spoke internally and we were like, you know, we're playing Manchester United. Let's make the most of it. Let's speak to people. You know, let's get our name out there. Let's put Newport on the map. And that's what we tried to do. And we tried to speak to as many people as we possibly could. And with the press conference, we got as many news outlets in the same room so they could just ask away and get Newport out there. So that's kind of how we did it. We looked after the people that looked after us, and then we, if we could, we accommodated.
Amazing, amazing. Chris, if I come over to you, I mean, when you're covering a game normally, obviously there's some element of prep. You know, you've got the pre-match press conferences, the, you know, looking at the opposition and the stuff. In a roundabout way, what does a typical game day look like for you, and how did that compare to this particular game?
Game day, I guess it's getting there. Usually starting a live blog up, and the live blog was started up a little bit earlier because I just wanted to get there because, you know, frankly, you just think the sheer number of people in town, you were there and you saw it was slightly busier. So yeah, it's a bit more manic because obviously Louis had the nightmare of trying to sort the amount of press that were there, and the Rodney Parade isn't set up for that many press, let's be honest. So yeah, it's just you're a bit more on edge on days like that. You realise that, yeah, you know, more people are looking at what you're doing. So it's operationally it is a bit different.
Yeah. Did you still get a prime spot though in the Hazel, Chris?
I got a desk, which is, definitely was Louis looking after me because I wasn't the one with my laptop on my lap. So it's it was definitely different, and it was probably good for Louis to have Wrexham the week before was good for the players and manager, but it was probably good for media department as well. That was that's the fullest it's been, hasn't it, this season? Really.
That's the biggest we've had for a while. And like you said, it was good to have them before because all the media that they bring in documentary crew and stuff, it was good to accommodate that. But even so, I mean, it times it by five, and that's what it was for Man U, you know. So no, yeah, you're right.
Okay, was there you said there was documentary people there for the Wrexham game?
Yeah. Well, they're filming their documentary, aren't they? So
of course.
Yeah. They have a media team, and then they have obviously that crew as well. So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, because I mean, that was a huge game, and of course, yeah, you had the stands up already. The extra, you know, seating, and yeah, I think it was quite a few hundred more in that Wrexham game, which is interesting. Anyway, I digress. Louis, I wanted to come back to obviously all of the, you know, spreading people out and making the most of that game. How do you kind of ensure that the media obviously get the access that they want and need, but it doesn't kind of detract from, you know, game preparation and training? Or was it kind of like, this is just going to be a mad week, let's just roll with it? I mean, was there kind of a almost like, you know, ring fencing, like, right, you can have X amount of time with the players and the players and the media together, and then right, no, they need to prepare, no, they need to train, they've kind of got a big game on Sunday.
Yeah. So I spoke to the gaffer, and we, like we said, we wanted to make the most of it. However, obviously that's within reason. So we did a couple of where the press spoke to the players, where they do it on the phone or whatever, they do it on Zoom, and then we walked up to the press conference that was on the Thursday. And then so that's the last chance then to speak to any players or the gaffer, and then past that is all prep then. So from Thursday evening, Friday, Saturday was all prep for the team to get ready for, like you said, what was a huge game. But that first bit there from the Eastleigh game up until that Thursday was just here, there, everywhere, training ground, on the phone, you know. But we made sure there was enough time for the lads to prepare.
Yeah. Are they, I mean, are the players generally like fine with engaging with the media? Do they appreciate it as part of the job? Do they appreciate it, or do they enjoy it?
Yeah, I'd say some enjoy it more than others. But they're all very good. They're all very good, and they'll do it. They get on with it because they know it comes with the job that they do. And, you know, I put a player on press on a Friday morning, and I've never had any issues with it. They're all good as gold. And, yeah, they do enjoy it. They do enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, throughout the season as well, do you kind of have to like pick and choose, spread it out? Or do you just kind of pick like based on maybe if they've got a connection with the opposition, or how do you decide?
Sometimes it depends, you know, if you're playing in good form. You know, Will's banging them in for fun at the moment. So we've got Will on tomorrow, you know, so I want to help. But Chris and the BBC out as much as I can, where, you know, that's where the story is going to be. But also I like to get through the boys, so they've all got a space and they've all got, you know, all got pieces out there, because they all deserve it, because I know how hard they all work.
Yeah. And as well, like, it's like you said, they deserve that bit of coverage as well, because, you know, obviously at this level, particularly if you're on maybe shorter contracts, like, look, let's face it, it's a way of getting your name out there, as well as, yeah, obviously performances on the pitch, off the pitch as well. Chris, did you sense that sort of bubbling excitement when you were chatting with players, or when you know, in that build up to the game? I'm not sure who you spoke with in the end.
It was there, wasn't it? You can't get away from it. But at the same time, there were very important games in the build up. And I guess it's different for me from a local paper point of view. The angles aren't there. The national boys were obsessed by Will Evans, weren't they? Because that's, you know, the Argus have done him and his rise so often that it's not a story for us anymore. But yeah. But I remember the national boys, they'd been asking, you know, who's got a story, who's got an interesting backstory. And as horrible as it sounds, that they're all professional League Two players. You're not going to get, you know, a plumber or an electrician like when Bamarino are playing football. The Will Evans story is rare, so that's why I guess it was everywhere. But
yeah.
But there weren't that many. There aren't that many stories like that, are there? I guess Robbie Wilmot used to have one, didn't he? But a lot of them, they're just good professional players who had good careers. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, did any of the national press come and ask you questions? Because obviously they might see that, you know, you're reporting week in, week out. You might know the inner secrets or the stories that they should be chasing. Did they ask any silly questions of you?
they're cunning. Well, that's one word for them, isn't it? The national boys. They tap you up for the knowledge and then pass it off as their own. That's what they do. And let's be honest, the national papers don't have to have the relationship with players or the club that I do. So they're going to make Newport out to be a tin pot club with a tin pot ground and all that. So I think that's part of them. They can just do that because they don't. If they're banned from speaking to Graham Cochran, they don't give a monkey's, do they? Because, you know, when are they going to speak to him again? So that's what happens when it's Man United. They overplay certain things to make the story there and sex it up.
Yeah, I feel I'm trying to recall some of the national coverage. I think it's been worse in previous ties, like the whole like David versus Goliath novelty. But I mean, both of you, maybe Louis first and then Chris, did you feel like the coverage from the Nationals in particular was fairly representative of the club and like the players and the community? Or did you feel like they maybe pulled on a couple of stories too much?
On the whole, it was positive for the club. There was a couple which I was not thrilled about, let's put it that way. Some of that was just lazy journalism. There was a couple of stories that went out, you know, that they hadn't even come down or spoken to me. But I guess that comes with playing such a big game, to be fair. But I think the majority of it was very good. It was very representative, and I had messages from a lot of people that aren't even Newport fans. Some even aren't even football fans that were rooting for us on the day. So, like I said, it was great to put Newport on the map and great to have our name out there. In like the Telegraph, the BBC, you know, all the big ones, and it was good to see it on there.
Let's not forget as well, there are a lot of those journalists, they like doing this, these games occasionally. They can get used to Premier League grounds and things like that, and it is a nice experience. I guess it can connect them to when they were watching football again. It's, you know, not having a sweet bowl and starters, mains and puddings when they go to ground, things like that, that you can get overlooked after when you get Premier League grounds. So I think by and large, journalists, those national boys, they do enjoy the odd, probably. They probably wouldn't want to do Crawley away and then Swindon away and Grimsby away, but they like the odd trip, didn't they?
Before we move on, I have to ask Louis, I mean, Will seems to be embracing his particular backstory, or is he sick of talking about it?
No, I think he enjoys it, to be fair. Will's a fantastic lad, as you see, and he enjoys speaking to the media.
Yeah, I've seen him. I think he did an interview with Farmers Weekly, which is fantastic. Like just getting the club's name out there wherever way we can.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
There was one question I was going to ask later, but let's do it now. Because we kind of said the coverage was, you know, is great, and it puts, you know, Newport's sort of name out there. Yeah, I mean, I saw, I think it was, might have been Colin Everett, I'm not sure now, who was out in Namibia, I think, and he tweeted that two taxi drivers who'd supported Manchester United remember the club and loved our story. And that kind of shows that, you know, we're a global brand now, if you want to call us that. Do you feel like, you know, if they get the coverage and the narrative and, you know, the right story out there, this can really be a lasting impact, or is it more like, you know, people hear the story and then the media circus moves on and we kind of get forgotten about? Or do you feel there's a real lasting impact? Maybe we start with Chris and then Louis.
Wow, sound like the grizzled old hack. I do think things move on. That's the way it happens. It's in town for a while. You can make some gains, and I think it as a club, county need to focus on the small gains, isn't it? That, rather than trying to say, oh, things are different now, it's use that to get a few more punters through the gates and do things like that. Use it to show what they can do to sponsors and things like that. It's not being too ambitious with it, because the news cycle moves on. The post-match presser with Erik ten Hag, that was all about Rashford, because they know that's what they need for their papers. It's not about the county game. There was so few questions about that because they've already moved on. They've had Premier League games European games, all that. So it's an opportunity, isn't it? The build-up and the game, and then it moves on, doesn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah. Louis, do you kind of like look at the coverage that you've got and then maybe ride the wave a little bit, ride that wave, particularly in the sort of the local community field, try and like keep the numbers coming for the home games? Obviously, we had great attendance for the Swindon game the week after. It felt like there was that air of positivity, and I guess it's probably your job really to try and like keep that going, keep that sort of connection going, across our media channels, but also just generally getting people through the gates as well.
Yeah, I think to tag on to what Chris said, I think he's right. However, I can speak from numbers, and our channels have grown massively since that game, even in the build up. I mean, the poster we put out with the graphic on it had something like 2 million impressions, and I think we've grown by over 2,500 across our channels, across all of them as a whole. So I think it's been fantastic in that sense. However, in terms of the media and stuff, they kind of move on after they've got what they wanted. They've watched the game, they've written a piece, and now they're on the next one, following Maidstone or whatever they're doing. But yeah, I think the Swindon attendance was fantastic straight after the Man U game, and I think we have attracted new people to Newport and to follow football, and hopefully we see that in the coming weeks. It's a big couple of weeks for us, and it'd be great to carry on the big attendances.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, just anecdotally, I've seen a few people say, I've decided to come down. I had a ticket for this game. I'm going to come down to the next one. Some people, like their kids, decided they want to come down, and they've come with their parents for the first game because they've seen them on TV. And it, like, mm-hmm. Like you say, even if it's just like a few numbers, like it just grows and grows, and it feels a bit organic then, doesn't it? So,
yeah.
Okay. I want to touch on a bit about what both of your jobs sort of entailed during the game as well, because I was struck by a comment that Ed made. I think he was watching yourself, Louis, kind of unable to properly celebrate a goal because you're trying to report what's happening. Chris as well, like all the journos that are frantically writing and multitasking, listening, watching, live tweeting, drafting, having to delete copy because there's been two goals conceded in the last 10 minutes, that kind of thing. I'd love to explore like the nuts and bolts a bit about what that entails, whether you get into a flow, a rhythm, or there are times where you might have just completely missed something and you've had to sort of ask the person next to you. Maybe, Chris, start with yourself. I mean, you called yourself a grizzled old hack, I think, but I think you're doing yourself a disservice there. I mean, obviously, being an experienced journalist now, is it just a natural rhythm for you? Just is it like second nature, or can you understand like why people are like a bit in awe of like just how much you have to do on a match day?
With time, you have to evolve as a journalist with what what the demands are on you. So live blogging is something that when I started wasn't a thing. We didn't even used to put all our stories on the website and on the Argus when I started it. The blog is interesting when it's a Tuesday game because we are properly on deadline then. So I am filing a match report on the whistle while trying to do a blog at the same time and upload pictures and all that nonsense. So that is manic. Thankfully, Graham isn't quite as quick after a game for his duties as Flinny was. That was an absolute nightmare. He's so quick after a final whistle, Flinny, that you would be frantically trying to finish all of your stuff, sort of a blog, get your match report up and all that sort of thing. But it's
what kind of time frame was Flinny?
Oh, you could be under 5 minutes sometimes, especially in the COVID season. It would be done sort of underneath the Hazel stand, near that sort of the food hut. So he'd be doing it there, and you'd be there so quickly because he just rattled through. Whether that was good for him at times, I don't know, but it made for good copy. But no, I guess from a workload point of view, that's where I benefited from learning my trade. I started doing the Premiership Rugby clubs in Gwent when I first came down, and that's where you learn to do runners, as they're called, because a lot of people, they are surprised that your match report is literally done there. They think you watch a game, then you start writing your match report. But it is a bit of an art, I guess. But hence, you see me losing my head. It's late goals. They can do you in. So
yeah, oh, definitely, yeah. These days, the sort of instant gratification of like online media, they want the match report immediately. They're refreshing the page, the article page where it says, I don't know, more to follow. They're like, come on, follow that. So yeah. And Louis as well, I think people probably underestimate probably just how much you do on a match day. Like if you could maybe talk us through, like in a nutshell, when your day starts on a match day and when it finishes.
My day starts at 7:59 on a Saturday morning because I have an alarm on for 7:59 because the match day post goes out at 8, which I scheduled the night before. I like to make sure I've made no grammatical or punctuation errors when it goes out at 8. And then I'm straight into work, set up, make sure I've got the parking list and the parking at the press list ready. And then just build up, match day build up. And then that takes us all the way up to when the lads start arriving and the gaffer starts arriving, which is obviously where the content starts. And then I'm down in the tunnel for the team sheet from both sides, run back down to the office, put that into a graphic, put it into a team sheet. Obviously I've got a fantastic team of matchday volunteers as well that help. So it's definitely not all me, but then up to the press box and then cover the game. Obviously, you see live tweets go out. One of our matchday volunteers, Maka, he does the match report fantastically, or Liam when he's not available. And they're both fantastic. They're getting out on the whistle as well. We're competing with Mr. Kerwin over there for who can get out quicker. And then, yeah, straight after that, it's down to the little media room that we're working on, and it's press. And then we do the gaffer's quotes, and then we make sure everything's gone out. And if it's a win, there's content to push out. And so it's a long, long day. And then obviously the editing of the gaffer's post match, a player's post match. So it could go on till about midnight. To be fair, on a 3 PM kickoff, and a 7:45 kickoff is this early morning.
That's Sunday. Yeah, I think this is what I mean.
He's a psychopath though. 7:59. You've got to make it 7:55. Who sets their alarm for 7:59? It's got to be in the five.
I like my sleep, mate, and I need to get it where I can.
are you like an like up straight? Because if I set my alarm for 7:59, there's no way I could check a grammatical error at 8 AM.
Well, I have my phone next to me. 7:59. Goes up. Check the phone. It's all right. All right. Get up now. Right. Yeah. No. I'm all right.
And then how did that really differ on, go back to Manchester United a little bit. I mean, I guess by and large, it's kind of the same format. It's just maybe a lot more people to deal with, or a lot more media to deal with, or, you know, a lot more people to try and cram into the back of the compete stand.
Yeah. So most of that it was a Sunday, wasn't it? So I came in on the Saturday, I worked the Saturday and had all the prep for Saturday, put it in folders. So photographers, videographers, BBC TV, journos, and then I did it through priority. Who needs to sit on the press bench? Who can we put in seats that we've reserved elsewhere that would just have to have it on their laptop? You know, they might even have a power source. A lot of them didn't have a power source. A lot of them didn't have Wi-Fi because the Wi-Fi infrastructure is not quite ready for hundreds of media. Do you know what? They were all very good with me, and they were all very patient and realised that there's only a couple of us to try and accommodate, and they're all very good. It's the same schedule until 90 minutes, and then it all goes mental because we had to have a separate press conference room because obviously a lot of media, and the gaffer had contractual things to do with, you know, the BBC TV and overseas media and stuff. So I had my list and I had the gaffer come in. I was like, right, we need to do this first, and it's next, and then it's the club press conference. So they went on for about an hour and a half after the final whistle, to be fair, but it's very similar to a normal day, just like say on a big scale.
Yeah. And of course, having to, I mean, you didn't do it yourself, but build a makeshift TV studio beyond the North Terrace. Did you have much involvement in that? Or is it that kind of like a, right, we'll just leave you to it. Here's your spot. You sort yourself out.
Yeah, they kind of came for a look round the week before. And, I had a bit of help. Well, I had help from the club secretary, Gareth. And then they kind of just where, so where they're going to put cameras, where they can put, you know, where they can be on the gantry, where they're going to put the box, and then it was kind of leave that to them then. And then got it up in about 2 days. It looked great, to be fair, yeah.
All right. I mean, I've got like one more question for you. Chris, first of all, do you sort of thrive on these weeks or do you dread them a bit? Is it a pain for you or do you absolutely love them?
Oh, yeah. Let's be honest, it can be a nightmare because you've got, I hope they don't listen, but there we are. you get more demands from the rest of the news desk, the news side of things, just, you know, about getting involved. And there's various things that you know, bloody hell. And the work demands are, they are bigger for something like this, but they're enjoyable at the same time. So you're doing things like doing a piece with Scott Bennett. It's fantastic, isn't it? You're able to tell his story, which is that's what you're in the job for, isn't it? Telling nice yarns like that. And they're stories that I enjoy writing. So you do have more freedom to do bigger stories and really try and get it out there. So the workload is, it is big, especially when, thankfully, it happened in a quiet period for the Dragons, because if I was trying to do that as well, as it just would have been impossible. So it fell quite nicely, and that's why county success is just better for everyone, isn't it? It was his paper. You know, people seem to sometimes think we want bad news because it's better to stick with. No, that's nonsense. We need the club doing well.
Exactly. And yeah, that Scott Bennett piece was fantastic. I love reading those stories. I think we said at the start of this, you know, the players are still humans. Yeah, they're still people. They've got, like, you know, backgrounds, families. They've got all sorts going on. So yeah, it's just lovely to hear from them.
They're a good bunch as well. And that's, you sort of learn from doing them weekly. You know who's firstly got good stories, but likes telling them. Some players are a bit more, you know, they keep things to themselves, and that's fair enough. But you get to learn sometimes the stories that are there, and you can pick the right time to ask them about certain things. That's the key thing. And then if you do that, there are some good characters with good stories to tell, and they are by and large good blokes. And that goes, I've been lucky because the Dragons are the same. They're a really good bunch. So I'm lucky.
Just need to reiterate that Chris covering both of those is some job you do. It's incredible. And Louis, are you hoping for another cup run next year, or do you want a bit of a breather and let us focus on the league for a bit? So you
know, of course, I welcome anything like that, anything that benefits the club. I love it. I embrace that sort of stuff. I mean, at the time, maybe I was getting a bit snowed under. We had the signing of Luke Jampcott, and then we announced the takeover, and then we had the Man U game. It was a lot that week. I've never quite experienced anything like that. However, no, we aren't. That's another one. I'm up for that.
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, the media storm completely, like, haven't even mentioned the fact that we signed a player. Oh yeah, and we got taken over, and there was a trust AGM and all of that stuff to cover. I don't think we managed to, you know, talk about all of that at the same time. I'm sure it was a nightmare for Chris to have to write about as well, and then yourself, Louis, to manage that from the inside. But listen, both of you, thank you so much for coming on. You know, I've loved hearing your stories, and you know, all of us at the pod, and I'm sure I speak for our listeners to really respect and appreciate all the hard work you do week in, week out. And it's honestly really great to hear some of the little insights and snippets that, you know, we might not know about, and quite not realize that, you know, while you both seem like, you know, ducks swimming serenely on a lake, it's like underwater. It's just, yeah, everything's going. So yeah, amazing stuff. Thank you so much both for coming on.
Thank you very much. Really enjoyed it.
Cheers. Bye.
Well, there you have it. Thanks once again to Chris Kerwin, the chief sports writer of the South Wales Argus, and of course to Louis Cartwright-Walls, Newport County's media manager. I loved that conversation. I love chatting about the build-up. I love the fact that we had people asking to chat with Coco and Will Evans during the Eastleigh game already. I loved hearing about the match day build-up and just what really goes into covering it from a club's point of view, but also covering it from a reporter's point of view as well. There's honestly so much going on behind the scenes we don't know about, and it all looks so slick on social media and websites and you know, video coverage and tweets and match reports, but it just takes so much effort. So honestly, kudos to those two for all their hard work and effort to bring the content to us. That's it for this week. We will be back with a pod in the coming days and weeks, covering what appears to be quite a tough run of fixtures, although we seem to be doing okay at the moment. The League Two table is wild. I'm recording this where we are, I think, 2 points off the playoffs, and yet we're in 14th, 15th place. It's going to be a mad end of the season, and hopefully we can stick around, and who knows what will happen. Anyway, that wraps us up. Our thanks, as always, to Tinty and the Bucket Hats for our theme tune. Thanks, like I say, to Chris and to Louis. Until then, look after yourselves, look after each other, and above all, keep it Canty.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.